listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I hate shaving. I hate shaving. I hate the tediousness of it. I have sensitive skin, so I always kind of break out a little bit. I can't handle those electric razors, so I have to, you know, keep paying more money for the disposable ones or even the ones that last for a while. I hate it. I use the shaving cream and it doesn't smell good to me. The other morning, I rolled out of bed to shave and I did it without my glasses on. So the distance, you know, from my face to the mirror and then back to my face is just enough. But, you know, I thought I had done a pretty good job. I had one light. We have two lights in our back bathroom. And I used the lesser light to shave also. So we didn't use the lights that are around the mirror because I think Heather was sleeping at the time. But I thought I'd done a pretty good job, you know, from looking in the mirror without my glasses on. But of course, I do put my glasses on eventually and turn on the extra light just to check. And I had made a mess of my face. I had patches that I hadn't caught. I had even a couple nicks. There were some places that were uneven. I thought I could see, but I couldn't. I thought it was just fine, but it wasn't. And thank God for the light and for the vision correction. Today, Jesus heals the man born blind and hopefully the Pharisees as well. We don't know exactly what happens to the Pharisees in this chapter, but those Pharisees, like me, thought they could see, but they couldn't. They thought they were just fine, but they weren't. Thank God for the light and for the vision correction. Today's text is where we get that toast that some people say when they lift a glass. Here's mud in your eye. Has anybody ever heard that toast? Does anybody say that toast themselves when they lift a glass? We ought to bring that back. My grandpa used to say that all the time. I never understood what it meant. But it is a direct reference to this text. Here's mud in your eye. It is to say, in other words, here's to your health and your healing. Here's to clearness of vision and direction. Jesus takes the soil, he spits in it, he rubs it together, and he wipes it on the man's eyes. And we have this toast now. Here's mud in your eye. Try it next time you make a toast. But mud in your eye does not sound like a pleasant experience. That must have certainly been true for those Pharisees. Now, Jesus doesn't in the story rub mud in their eye, but Jesus does, in a sense, kind of distort things for them. Little mud in their eye. That must have been true for those Pharisees because they got called out by Jesus. Surely we're not blind, are we? In those last verses of that long reading. Surely we're not blind, are we? And Jesus says to them, if you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. As Micah has started saying more and more now, busted. It's a little like me thinking that I've done such a great job shaving without glasses on. It's like me thinking, I'm just fine, even great, do this pretty well. This is a text and a lesson about humility and about relying on Jesus, who is the only one who gives the true light, who fully shaves away and wipes down our sin. We can't do it on our own. Lent continues. We can't do it on our own. We can't see clearly on our own. We need Christ's light and our vision corrected. It's not about literal blindness in this text. It is about spiritual blindness. Lent continues. Let us turn back to God, like I turned back to get my glasses the other morning, only to discover quite a mess. Let us turn back in this Lenten season, and we might discover, too, a bit of a mess. But Christ, who slaps mud in our eyes, is our light and our healing, sisters and brothers. But the healing doesn't happen, interestingly, while Jesus is present in this story. Jesus wipes the mud on his eyes, and then he tells him to go somewhere and to wash. So the healing doesn't happen while Jesus is standing right there. He doesn't slap the mud in his eyes and suddenly he can see. I mention that because this is the second time in John's gospel that that's happened, where Jesus has not been present when the healing has happened. In chapter 4, there is an official who has a son who's sick to death. And Jesus says, go. And the healing happens when Jesus is no longer present. So what's the point of that? There is a component of faith where we don't get the results that we want immediately or in the way that we envision them. First, we are told to go. We don't always get what we want. We don't always get it immediately or in the way that we envision. We're told, though, week after week in this space to go at the end of our service. You know the four parts of our worship service, the skeleton, the bone structure of our worship every week. It's the gathering, it's the word, it's the meal, and it's the sending. And I've had conversations before where we've kind of talked, what's your favorite part of worship? I like the sending. I like the part where you say, go in peace, serve the Lord, because that's the shortest part of the whole service. It's not actually the shortest part because it's the beginning of the whole week. We're actually in the sending throughout our entire week. So it's the longest part of the whole service because our lives during the week, as we're out in the world, as we go in peace and serve the Lord, is all part of the worship. And then we come back together at the end of the week. It's a little bit like saying at the end of the service, go now, wash in the pool of sent. The word siloam means sent. We too are invited to go and wash in the pool of sent, Christ says to us this day. What does it mean to be sent? And how do we see differently after encountering Christ's healing? It's been about 2 years now that I had this wonderful experience of flying to Colorado Springs to interview my grandpa, Roshki. He's 90 years old. And I got to videotape him talking about his life and his ministry, 60 plus years of serving in congregations around Illinois and Missouri. He's an ordained pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And his longest call was in Kansas City, Missouri, which is where I remember going and visiting when I was growing up. He served in that call for 25 years. 25 years he served that congregation in Kansas City. And as Grandpa was talking about those specific years, I remember him sharing how that congregation had planted, in those 25 years, they planted 6 different churches around Kansas City. Can you imagine that? They would grow and they would reach a certain size and then they would go out and they would plant new churches. But that wasn't this easy thing. Because every time that question came up, who's going to go? It was always a struggle and it was always a battle. Because nobody wanted to leave the cozy mother church. It was scary to go out there. It was scary, in other words, to go and wash in the pool of scent. It occurred to me, as Grandpa was talking, that I've never even thought along those lines about our church. I've never even considered that. What if we planted churches out of Shepherd of the Valley? I've never even had that kind of vision for any of our churches here in San Diego. But how do you suppose we got here? Shepherd of the Valley is a plant from St. Luke's, actually, over in La Mesa. St. Luke's Lutheran Church planted a whole bunch of our churches, including this one. And how do we suppose others get to hear the gospel that God loves them? How will others come to know Christ who abides with them in the light and in the darkness, in the good times and in the bad, in the word and in the meal and in the community, if we don't go wash in the pool of scent? Jesus sends us out. That's the whole reason for being the church. I was reminded recently that the early church in the first century only had two purposes: to worship weekly and to help the poor and those who are on the edges of society. That was the whole point of the church. That might sound obvious, but when we think about why we join churches, you know, we look for a place that fits us and a you know, pastor that we like, or you know, a community that does something that we want, as opposed to this idea of worshiping regularly and going out and serving the poor. They always, in those days, would take an offering when they worshiped underground, and then they would just give that offering away. What an idea. I mean, we take an offering for ourselves so we can better the ministry here, and hopefully some of it goes out beyond ourselves. But the church, of course, morphed from those first century years when it got more and more power in the world's eyes. That is, when emperors and kings and presidents made Christianity their own. And Luther, thanks be to God, tried to restore those two original focal points, and he added one more. He added education, so that during the time of the Reformation, the church was called anew to the worship, to the serving of the poor, and then to educating others. I'd like to think that my grandpa was trying to restore some of that as well in his ministry of reaching out and planting new churches, trying to offer that same vision once again in the 20th century. Sisters and brothers in Christ, once again, where is God calling us this day? Where is God calling us this Lenten season? For we have a vision before us now that we are in Christ, now that Christ has indeed touched our eyes and given us a vision, given us sight, given us light. We can see now that we have been nearsighted at times, that our work can indeed, if we're honest in the season of Lent, our work can indeed be patchy, uneven. We can make a mess of things. Thanks be to God who has turned on the light and given us corrective vision this day. Thanks be to God who forgives us where we have gone wrong and who leads us in a new way out into the world. Here's mud in our eye. Now we go. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.